This is a podcast by The Straits Times.
Does he like not want to be around children at all?
Yeah.
If he can't choose.
Actually, he's okay with the older ones, but if you're like 11, 12 and they're
like when you can
more
have
settled, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but then if the really young ones are just screaming all the time. Sorry.
No.
Yeah.
Is that what your household is like? Children are screaming. Two kids, two boys. Are they like very boisterous?
Yes.
First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage. That's the OG version of the nursery rhyme as we know it, but Singapore's version might need a little bit of editing. With the total fertility rate hitting a record low last year, Singaporeans just aren't having enough babies. And I want to find out why. So welcome to The Usual Place. My name's Natasha and I'm your host today. My first guest on the couch is Joan. Welcome to the show. And she believes strongly in not having children. And in the opposite camp, I have my second guest, Daniel, who believes that having children is a natural step after getting married. So he's walked the talk and he has had two children since then. Welcome to the show, guys.
Welcome. Nice to be here.
I want to understand a little bit about how you arrived at maybe not having children and having children. So we'll start with you, Joan. How did you decide that you do not want to have children at all?
Okay, so of course, you know, in the beginning, the early years of having relationships, that was definitely something that I did contemplate about, like, because as you mentioned, it's like the natural step, right? But I think as I progressed and matured into different phases in life, I got to explore my own lifestyle, wants and needs, and that's how I got to the conclusion. And also because of my career where I'm an educator, so I can see the amount of stress and responsibility and the weight of that responsibility that parents have for their children. And I've decided that I do not want that kind of responsibility in my life. So I came to this conclusion.
So actually, the Straits Times interviewed you in 2022, right, about your stance. And at that time, you were dating someone.
Yes.
And now you've since married that person, right?
Correct.
And at any point in time, did you change your mind about, or did you maybe consider that, oh, I might change my stance about having children?
No. The reason is because even before he asked me on the first date, I think because we were both in our 30s, I think we were also very clear on what we wanted out of a relationship. So we are not exploring relationships anymore. We are looking at more of the end goal. So I just told him straight, like, I do not plan to have children. What about you? And then he said the same thing. Like, he does not plan to have children.
It's like perfect match.
Before we actually proceeded with dating one another. So okay. I think...
Actually, can I ask you, did you put that on your... Did you use an app to...
No, we met at a party.
Okay. Yeah. So did you have to like really be vocal about, or did people, when people introduced you to him, did they already know that he didn't want to have kids and you didn't want to have kids, and they were like, okay, maybe you guys should meet in that sense?
Yeah, the friend that actually introduced us knew that both of us were on the same page about this. So that's why he introduced us.
Okay. Mm. So I'm actually curious, when you did that interview, that was about like 3 years ago, right? Mm. And you were one of a couple of people who were interviewed about not having children.
Mm.
And I was curious, what was that kind of reaction that you got? Because, well, it's kind of maybe a little bit taboo, I would say, to publicly declare that you do not want children. So what kind of reactions did you get after, you know, you came out in the video?
I think for the older generation, yes, they were a bit concerned about this viewpoint. But with colleagues or friends around my age group, they actually then stepped up and said, actually, I share your point of view. I just didn't know whether I should have shared it with the public. But then because you have, they actually had more courage to actually say and state their stand that way as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and they also felt more free to actually admit, like, parenting, especially as a woman. I think because naturally, we would have to go through most of the load, first of all, physically.
Yeah.
So they actually felt more free to actually express that they were not interested in becoming parents.
Okay. So, Daniel, now turning the tables on you, you had your first kid when you were 34, correct?
And
did you always know that you wanted to have children?
So a little bit background. Before I got married, I was actually really enjoying life.
What is enjoying life? Can you define that? You like partying all the time?
I don't want to divulge too much, you know, on live air. But yes, I was enjoying my life. I was traveling. I was having a good time. I was dating around. And until I met my wife, and that is where I realized that I want to be with her, right? So I met my wife on the plane, actually. Yeah, so she's an air stewardess. And I would say that when I was with her, one of the things that came to my mind is, before getting married, is, can this person be the mother of my children, right? So yes, since I was young, to me, it's like, I do want to have children. I felt that it is something which is very meaningful to do as a human being. To me, it was a natural choice. And of course, important part was, one of the first few questions I still remember when I asked my wife was, if we were to get married and we, you know, how many children do you have, right? If answer was zero, then potentially maybe we wouldn't get married, right? But she says, you know, depends and blah, blah, blah. And in the end, we thought of names for children even before that.
So
we were dating.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was, I think it was for us, something that we would look forward to, right? So after married, you know, just quite quickly, we actually had children. So it was quite natural for us in our relationship.
So hearing Joan's take about how women, you know, bear the most out of the childbearing situation or having children, what's your take? Like, do you think that that's a fair statement, or do you feel like, you know, personally you have a more 50-50 relationship in raising the children?
Well, number one, and this is just my opinion, right? I think having children, in terms of the choice of children for a couple, I think 60% belongs to the female and 40% to the guy. I think as a woman, you have to really give up a lot of things, right? You have to give up your career opportunities, the changes to your body. If two people come to a couple gets married and the woman says she won't have children, the couple would have children. Even if I don't want to have children, we will have children, right? Because I feel that is, I think this choice belongs more to the woman, right? As if I want children and if my wife doesn't want children, we will not have children.
Okay.
I feel that the decision point, the weightage,
lie with the woman.
Yes.
At the end, so what you're saying is that at the end of the day, it's the woman's final decision.
Yes. Yes. Okay. We can debate about it, blah blah blah, but it's the man's job to convince the woman to say, let's have children, right? And they must want to have it, right? Yeah. And you're right, completely right. My wife had to leave her job, right? Because she was flying. And if you are flying, it's very hard to have children.
Has she gone back to being an air stewardess?
No. She's now running her own, clay jewelry business. Yeah. So she went to become an entrepreneur after that. So she had to sort of shift her career in a sense. Yeah. So it was a lot to give up. But again, it's on her perspective, right? So she also wants to have children. So to her, it's, no, I want to quit. Not because I only want to have children, but, you know, I want to have a different lifestyle. And yes, having children is a major part of a choice.
Okay. So did you always plan on having just one, or, you know, the second one was also planned, or it just happened?
Okay. So that's a very good question. I think in a perfect ideal world, every couple want to have, if they want to have children, one boy and one girl, right? So the first one turned out to be a boy. And then, of course, we said, second one, let's try. Let's pray that's a go. And, you know, you became another boy. So I have two boys now, right?
So you're going for a third now.
So that's another very good question. So we are thinking about it and we're saying, look, I think two for now, we can still manage, you know. We still want to have our life as a couple. And this current moment, based on our careers and our life, I think for now, two is okay. In future, as I said, the choice is on the woman. So if she says, let's have a third one, then I think, no, we will go for the third one. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to get to a little bit of the government policies later about having children, but I want to ask you guys about what your realities are like based on the stance you guys have taken. Like, for example, Joan, when you say you are child-free, when you want to be child-free, what's the reality like for you? Do you have more time to do certain things that maybe friends with children may not? Like, why don't you share about that?
Okay. That's a very good perspective. So actually, I think most people think that being child-free, you have a lot of time to yourself. I would say yes, I would have more time to myself than a couple with, especially young kids, right? But I spend a lot of my time with family. And also, I have two actually senior cats. So I do spend a lot of my time around my pets as well.
Oh, so they're like your fur babies?
My fur babies, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I think my reality would be I spend a lot more time with the things that I have at present that need my time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess what is the biggest misconception that people might just think about you when you say, oh, I'm not interested in having children, I'll never have children? Is there some things that they say to you maybe that you think, hey, that's not true about me? Or, yeah.
I think it's more of when people say you might want to regret it, the decision when I grow older. But my counter argument would be, if I'm on the fence and I'm not like 100% for it, and my partner is not 100% for it, and if I just have a child out of obligation, I think it is worse to regret having the child than to regret not having a child.
Okay, Daniel, you're like agreeing with this. Yeah. So what's your take on it?
I think it's on a couple's choice, right? I think no one, the government or whoever, religious groups, shouldn't say that, oh, you need to have children. It is a must. You must have it. I think it's a couple's choice, right? My take is every person, every couple is different, right? If the couple decides that they don't have children, then we as society should respect that, right? For me, right, my stand is more on those people on the fence, right? Those who maybe want, maybe don't want. What can we do to incentivize them? I didn't say force, incentivize, right? Say, look, having children is like it's another stage of life, right? I think John definitely would agree with me. It's a different life already. What would incentivize them to say, hey, let's try this life? Nothing wrong with your other life, but you want to try something different, right?
But isn't trying, because you can't make a mistake with a child. You have it and, well, not it, you have him or her, and then it's really like you can't take back that decision, right?
Well, I would say that buying a house, raising children, they don't teach you this in school. You can only read about it, ask your friends about it. I think that kind of mistake, if you want to call it, or correct or not correct, you know, choices in life is what makes life, right? Yes, would I be a good father before I had children? I do not know, right? Would I be a good husband? And I just felt like it is, again, like what you said in the start, a natural progression in life. And for me, if I was born in another country, I may have made a different choice, right? Because Singapore is in a safe, you know, we are a safe country. We have, you know, good facilities, medical, education. So, you know, I think that gives me the ease to say, okay, I don't mind having children. But if I'm in another country where we are at war, I may have different considerations, right? So for me, is what can we do better society? What can the government do to make the choice less onerous on the person who wants to make that choice?
Okay, so we'll get to the government later.
Sure.
But we'll ask you, can I ask you, what is your main challenge? What's the one thing that changed, how did your life change after you had your first kid that was very different? And do you have any, did you have to make major adjustments in your life to accommodate?
100% sure. I mean, that's the main reason, right? Why people don't have children is because of three reasons. Number one is financial burden. There is this saying called DINC, double income, no children. I don't know if you heard about it. Double income, no kids, right? Yeah. So yeah, I would like to have double income, have no kids, and I can spend the money however I want, right? So that's the financial burden. So honestly, it was a bit scary. So, you know, I want, giving birth, I need to find a gynae, to go to hospital, need to buy all the stuff. So I was like a bit scared, but actually after when I did it, I was like, okay, it's not that bad. No, but the fear of the unknown is what makes you, okay, financially, can I do it, right? And I'm not saying that you don't need to financially plan. We did a bit of planning, right? And actually it wasn't that scary. Yeah. We actually bought a house, renovated it, and then had children in the same year. And get married. It was like in 1 year. So I'm not like a multi-millionaire or something, but it was a process I did with my wife, and you know, actually was done. So I mean, financially, that's the first fear, right? Yeah. Second is lifestyle, and 100%, Joan, I really sometimes envy single people, right? They can go out wherever they want, they go holidays, they take care of their kids. I would say that me and my wife, we have certain, I would say procedures. I don't want to say procedures, that's a very technical term. We have certain rituals, we have the 777 rule. Every 7 days, we will actually go out together, just me and her, to have dinner. Okay. It can be a hawker center, you know, just very simple dinner.
You're going on a date. It's a date.
I won't call it date. I'll call it decompressed time without children, right?
Okay.
Then on the 7th week, we actually will go actually on a date. Yeah, minimum makan.
Okay, yeah. Okay. You don't want the distractions of the kids. Yes. Then you just have to focus on eating a proper meal.
Yes, correct. Proper meal, go for movie. Yeah. That is like a full day date. Mm. Yeah, the one is just eat together at an okay restaurant, you know? Yeah, that one is the full fancy restaurant, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so 7 weeks, both of you get dressed up.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Clean up.
Must do one, yes.
Okay.
And again, sometimes it's 6 weeks because, you know, we cannot tahan already, right? So we do that. And then the last one is the 7th month where we go for a holiday. So some of our friends are like, hey, you leave your children on that? Cannot. Mm. I'm like, you know, yeah, we need alone time. So every 7 months, we will go on just me and her holiday. Yeah, so we put this inside so that we still remember why we got married and why we love each other as a couple. And I think some people don't do that. They're like, kids. Oh, you know, parents say you can't, must, you know, then... You just turn out to be, your whole life become about kids. And I think that's the scary part.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's a part that, you know, if I had friends who didn't do that, you should consider doing that. Sorry, I forgot the last part already. So financial, I forgot the last part.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You can hop in anytime when you like. Well, no, I mean, I wanted to go on that topic about you know, making these rules so that you still, you know, have me time with your wife. Mm. But when you had kids, was there a particular aspect of your life, for example, with your career, with your marriage? Clearly, you have to work on it.
Yes.
You have made like concerted steps to, you know, work on it.
Yes.
Or with your friendships, did anything change? So your friendships with your guy friends, you know, did anything change when you had children?
Definitely. Well, if you, to be very honest, like I have friends who are still single, they go every weekend. I would say that having children made me not want to actually go every weekend. Yeah. Because now I don't need to, when I come back, I have my wife and my kids, right? Mm. So I would say that at first it was a bit like, wow, you know, they're going out again, you know, but I didn't take it like, oh, I have to stay home and take care of my kids.
Yeah.
I take it like, oh, okay, you know, I spend time with my wife and my kids. I'm a married man now. But every month, my wife will say, this is your visa pass. Please go out and with your friends, right? And I also encourage her to do the same, right? Mm. So, yes, there is definitely the friendship definitely not as close as last time. Mm. But yeah, I mean, it's a give or take situation. And they understand. Yeah. And now they are getting married and they're having kids. And they're like, oh, okay. They are having the same thing as me. Yeah.
Okay. So, John, what is your friend circle like? Like, do you have a lot of friends who are... child-free as well, or maybe single, not married, or you have friends with kids? Like, what's that demographic like, and how do you, you know, marry your life with theirs?
I think as the time went on, those with who are married and with kids, a lot of them slowly faded away. But yeah, I think most of my friends are mainly single, or they are married, just also child-free as well.
Okay. Do you have like a lot of people who within your, you know, your personal circle that share the same views as you? And what do you think about what, you know, Daniel said about, you know, what he has had to give up in a way when he has had kids?
Okay. So I think as a parent, right, you cannot see it as I'm giving up, but you are playing a totally different role right now. So you have to evolve in that manner. Mm. Yeah. But with my female friends who don't have kids, actually, surprisingly, like, even if they're married, it's because the husband doesn't want to have kids. And then they just tag along because they know that if they force this, and one party says no and one party says yes, right? The person that will suffer is the child. So yeah, they would rather have the decision of not having the child than bringing the child into something where that child would suffer in. Yeah.
So going back to what you said about dating your husband, when you were dating at that time, and how early on did you have the conversation? Was it already on the first day and you were like, no, this is a, you know, I'm this is a deal breaker for me. If you want to have kids, I can't date you. Was that already at from the first get-go, right? Because your friends introduced you. Okay. And at any point, I mean, I've asked you about you, but what about him? Like, has that conversation ever changed for him after
I think got married? He feels more strongly about this than me.
Because, oh, why?
Because he can't stand being around children. Like,
okay,
the noise of children, just no. But I work with children. So actually at times when I'm like, you know, with if he has like his nephews or whatever, I'm like, can you be more empathetic towards them? I mean, they are young children. They are not as aware as you are as an adult. So you have to come from that different perspective as well. Yeah. So yeah, I think...
I mean, I kind of get him. I mean, you kind of need to have like a... Okay, I don't have a nurturing vibe. I like have like 5 minutes of kids and I'm like, I'm done. So I kind of understand where he's coming from, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, so, you know, does he like not want to be around children at all?
Yeah.
If he can choose.
Actually, he's okay with the older ones, where if you're like 11, 12 and they're
like where you can
more
have a conversation.
Settled, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but then with the really young ones that are just screaming all the time. Sorry.
No. I understand.
Yeah.
Is that what your household is like? Children are screaming. Two kids, two boys. Are they like very boisterous? And...
Yes.
Okay, don't invite John's husband.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Especially when young, they're terrible too. I think you're kind of terrible too. No, you know, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. Then you don't really want to take out the cane and you want to cane them, right? You talk to them, you time out them. And sometimes you after working the whole day, right, you feel so tired. Then you still have to handle this kid, put them to bed. I'm like, yeah. Then one day they'll just say, before going to school, Daddy, when I go to school, I miss you. Oh, okay, it's fine. No problem. Bring it on. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the give and take.
You live for those moments.
Yes.
You're like,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a payoff here.
Yes. The payoff may be very small, but yes, that's the payoff. Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you about the government incentives. You briefly mentioned it. So there's like talk about, you know, leave for dads. There's like baby bonuses. Maybe I should ask you first, John. When you hear all these incentives that are being given to parents and, you know, they are being prioritized in a certain way, what does that make you feel like?
I think it's good because the cost of whatever they're offsetting will not cover the total cost of child rearing. So I think it's really good, especially for middle class families that are struggling, you know, with both finances, like really a huge gap, and then also with hoping that they can provide the best for their children. I think it's a very good a step forward. And then it gives more hope for people who actually want to have children. It's just they are not really sure if they can really afford having a child in this day and age. That's great. I don't really feel marginalized as of now, but I think what if I turn to my older colleagues, right, who are in the sandwich generation where they have to be the main caregivers of their elderly parents who have like dementia or any other illnesses, then I think the government can step up with the help for that group. Like, they remain single just to dedicate their lives to their elderly parents, which is a very, very noble cause as well. Yeah.
Okay. So, Daniel, with all the things that the government is giving out, I think some parents still say more can be done. We need more help. And it may not always be financial help, right? They need, you know, more access to caregiving for their kids. What would you put on the wish list that might spur people who are thinking about having children but have all these concerns? So what's on that wish list for you?
Right. And yes, I mean, I'm like every parent. If you can get more, it'd be good, right? Like what John said, whatever the government is giving is never enough, right? But again, I just want to say one point. We shouldn't also take it that, oh, because I have kids, right, I'm entitled. That entitled behavior is something which I feel, you know, it shouldn't happen because it may really marginalize other people, right?
Do you think Singaporean parents are entitled?
I heard of some things whereby some parents were asking for, you know, priority seating because they have children and they want to be able to sit there. I'm like, certain things is a bit too much, lah, I feel, right? But coming back to your question regarding the wish list, right? In terms of government, I think they should take the step in towards encouraging more women to have children. And how to do so, right?
Yeah, I was going to ask. Like, okay. I thought they already are.
Another example would be this. For example, I was sharing earlier that in the past, actually, Singapore had a 5.5-day work week, right? Mm. That was even before my time, I think, my parents' time. So actually, the late Mrs. Lee Kuan Yew actually proposed, and it got passed that every alternate Saturday, in the government sector, the woman actually need not go to work to take care of the kids.
Mm.
So they already know that, as I said earlier, 60-40, right? Encouraging more women to have, you know, to not feel left out if they have children is something the government should take. For example, if they're working in the government sector, maybe if they have children, for say 1 year or 2 years when they come back, they're not, oh, because you didn't work for 2 years, you're not behind your peers.
Mm.
Give them the national service, you want to call it, or like promotion, similar to those who have continued to work.
Mm.
Those are things which I feel easy for government to do, right? And it sets,
but would that not be a little bit unfair to the people who have not left the workforce and they've put in the effort while, you know, they're...
I'm not saying give them an unfair advantage. I'm giving the equal advantage to of those who already, who have left the workforce. I mean, a year, right? In a year, I don't know, I'm not in the government service, but what I understand is that they have different rankings, right? And number of years that you work, constitute to that. I'm not saying that give them a promotion just because they have children. No, I'm saying treat them like they have worked for that number of years. Because when a woman decides to have children, he or she is leaving her career back and putting on a hold, right?
Mm.
And that hold sometimes will affect in the long run, right? So maybe the government can say, look, working in the government, we will start and saying, okay, look, if you go and have children, we'll take it, like your year of service is still there. But of course, promotion all this is based on merit, based on your, you know, all of the strengths and what you bring to the table.
Mm.
I think that definitely should be enforced. But don't give them an advantage, a disadvantage, whereby, oh, sorry, you know, you have not hit the requirement number of years to get promoted. But I was giving birth to children, right? And the last thing, maybe have, instead of just home econs and, you know, design technology, have a bit of, parenting 101, right? What does it take to be a good parent? What is it to be a responsible parent. I think this kind of things, I don't know whether they teach in school now, but I think it gears up, the male and female in terms of, okay, if I want to have family, this is what I need to take care of, right? Mm. And it just sets the tone, right? So if they are thinking about having children, they won't have my fear like, oh, financially, can I do it? Or, you know, what's the, it's going to be very expensive. These are the few things which I feel that, in the wish list, I think.
That's what you want.
Yeah, the government can do.
Okay, so I'm quite curious to hear what you both think of each other's stance. Because this is the first time you're meeting and, you know, we've discussed quite a bit about your very personal feelings, right? So hearing his take on, you know, getting married and you must have children, what do you think about this?
Okay, I think, first of all, Daniel didn't say that you must have children.
Oh, natural step. Okay, natural step. Okay. Yes, not misrepresenting, yes. It's a natural step. Okay. Sorry, my bad.
No problem.
Yes, so Joan, what do you think about that?
I think with understanding how much thought Daniel placed behind having children and the discussions before bringing them into this world, that's a very, very important step before having children. Otherwise, you know, if you're not going to... You're going to have them and then think about, how am I going to be a parent and things like that, it becomes very difficult, especially as a couple. You will start having a lot of disagreements about how you want to raise the child, what's your way, what's my way, and then and a whole bunch of other factors that's coming in. So I think Daniel's way of approach of child rearing and having children is very sensible.
Okay, and Daniel, hearing Joan's take on why she wants to be child-free, what do you think about it?
As I said earlier, I think to each his own, and it's her choice, her and her partner's choice not to have children. As a society, I think I really acknowledge her for stepping out and saying, I don't have child, right? Because society sometimes is, not very kind to people who don't take the similar stance of them. So, her being here today is, I really acknowledge that, taking a stance, saying, look, this is my choice, right? I think it's a brave choice, and I'm actually also acknowledge her for being very open to her her husband, right? I've met some, and I don't want to name names, of women who don't mention to their husband that they don't have children, and they get married, and then the husband's like, so you don't have children, but they're married already. Then what happens to the marriage? The guy wants, because no, so the answer is no. Then they suffer, I think she also made a very sensible choice, finding the right partner with the same aligned feelings and vision as her. And we as society should wish her the best. And I'm glad she didn't feel marginalized, with the government giving benefits, incentives to people who have children. And I think it's really cool. Yeah.
Okay. Bonus question.
Yes.
If anyone's on the fence about having children, what would each of you say to them? If a couple is on the fence about having children, what would each of you say to them?
Okay. I would say it's better to regret not having the child than to regret having the child. Yeah.
Daniel?
I would say life is full of ups and downs, regrets and non-regrets. Take it, just go for it. You have the whole society support, the government support, and don't think too much. Yeah. If there's something that you and your spouse wants to do.
Okay. So thank you very much for your time and for being very candid and sharing your position on where you're at with having children and not having children. Daniel, I feel like you have something you want to say.
It's a bit controversial.
Okay. Right. Wow. Why you save the controversy for the last part? Okay.
Yeah, but I feel as much as a choice for someone to decide not to have children, I also feel like, this problem is not only a Singapore problem. It's actually a world problem, right? With the total fertility rate going down all around all the urban country, world. It is concerning because it affects the economy. We have to turn to, other sources of talent like migration. I would say that I really say that the people who are on the fence should really, try for it, right? Because you are in Singapore, you're not in any other country. It's safe here, government supportive of you. And then hopefully after listening to this podcast, they will be even more supportive, right? So, help those people who don't have children to, do your part and have children. Yeah. Yeah. And those who cannot have children, maybe, have some laws to, relax a little bit to allow people to adopt more children. Yeah. I think that should be something that we can do together. But importantly, do not marginalize people who have made the choice of not wanting to have children.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Joan, do you have anything to add to what you said? Controversial as well. It's okay. Just tell us what you think.
Yeah. So I would say that along the same vein where he mentioned that the birth rate, the total fertility rate is dropping amongst developed countries, especially Asian ones, I would say that the government should look further and beyond financial support. I think it needs a lot more than just money to change the minds of a lot of the younger generation. I think we should look into the stress levels. I think that's a very core part of why people are saying no to parenting, right? Because they have so much on their plates already. They have their own mental health, they have their own job requirements where they are a normal Singaporean don't really work just 40 hours a week. We work a lot more than that. And then we have our parents. And then do we want to add more on our plate? So I think the government really needs to rethink how society can support people who are on the fence or they even want children, but they're too afraid to because of their already very full plates. To change their mind. So it's not just money. There's a lot more that the government can do.
And don't make it like a, like they're forcing you. It's a choice. But it's an easy choice. Yeah.
Have children.
You're like the poster child for having children. Okay. On that note, thank you very much for being with us. I really appreciate you making the time to come and share your thoughts. What do you think about what Joan and Daniel have shared with us today? Leave your comments in the comment section below and subscribe to this channel if you want to see more content. If you want to reach out directly, I'm on Instagram, so DM me at theusualplace_net. I'll see you again soon at The Usual Place.
Send your feedback to podcast@sbh.com.sg. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or within our Straits Times app. Thanks for listening.